Robots go rogue as Hutton hunts for a bad sucker.
It appears as if one is the magic number.
It's win-win as Hutton gets stuck in.
Finally, it all adds up.
No ID, then you're not welcome.
You've been told not to run with scissors, but dangerous cutting tools, that's a different matter.
It's time to push the Hutton button.
And I'm pushing the boat out with all this week's expeditions.
First this evening, we have an urgent report from the orbital. One of our cleaning robots has gone missing. At the end of shift on Monday, Floor Mopping Guy was performing his usual inventory of robotic cleaning equipment when he realised that one of them had not come back to base. It had been tasked with cleaning the concourse over near the bar, picking up all those stray peanuts everyone keeps pinging at each other, and appears to have gone AWOL. With AI banned throughout the galaxy and, to date, the Mr. Dusty virus firmly under digital lock and key, initial thoughts were that the Succomatic 4K, an expensive piece of equipment, had been stolen. However, upon inspecting CCTV in the bar area, it appears that the equipment has decided to go on a bit of a wander, following a trail of crumbs left by one filthy trucker from the bar into one of the lifts. It appears to have headed down to the hangar deck, and finding all manner of detritus, and being out of range of the return-to-base signal, started cleaning down there too. It made short work of a small pile of discarded washers, and a strange-looking puddle on the floor, before sparks started shooting out the top of it, and it set off at speed onto the landing pad. Narrowly avoiding being crushed by an incoming Apex taxi, it appears to have tried to hoover it up, or mate with one of its landing legs, before being taken to the surface of the station when the taxi left with its next fare. Last that station scanners saw of it, it was heading in the direction of the planet Eden far below, beeping eagerly. There are no known predators for the Succomatic 4K, and as it's designed to resist the caustic conditions in Cubicle 3 and is fitted with a next-generation Century battery pack, there are concerns that any native species down on Eden will soon come under dangerous suction assault of the robot kind. A security team has been dispatched in Vipers attempting to locate the errant cleaning robot, and local shipping has been warned that they should they hear some vigorous scrubbing, sucking and beeping, they should not step outside as the robot might well view them as something that needs a rather over-vigorous cleaning routine. Spray them with some caustic detergent, and attempt to feed them into its zero-point hopper module.
The latest Pilots Federation service update for Scarabs and Scorpions appears to have hit a bit of a bumpy planet surface in recent days after commanders began reporting that the material and cargo scoop fitted to the surface vehicles has started malfunctioning. Commanders eager to go the full Pac-Man after cracking open Picius cobbles have left unable to scoop more than one of anything. One canister or one material, and the scoop mechanism appears to incorrectly close, leaving it jammed in a position where future material gathering appears impossible. The only solution to date has been a system reboot whereupon they can gather another one. One item at a time only, please. There are connected reports that Scarab virtual audio environments have been heard to pipe up with the dreaded unexpected item in the bagging area before setting off a little red light and waiting for a service technician to come and put in a secret code and swipe their card. As technicians aren't really all that common just wandering around on a planet's surface, commanders have been left with no option but to perform the classic three-fingered salute on the Scarab and restart the systems, which of course causes the materials to mysteriously vanish. In more positive news, though, commanders are reporting that brain trees are once again able to be harvested by percussive means throughout the galaxy, spilling their contents once again. Of course, you can only pick up one of the things that they drop, but one's better than none. Not as good as 11, but better than one.
As war trundles on throughout Paladin space, truckers have been hard at work helping defend system after system from the marauding EGU, who are continuing to use rotten means to cause yet more wars. And this week, not even in support of their own faction. They've bribed, conned, and generally persuaded NPC factions throughout Paladin space to attempt to take over systems. And we counted no fewer than 7 separate wars in the last week alone. Current score is 6 to the Paladins and 1 to the EGU, which is yet another loss for the EGU. Their propaganda machine has gone into full swing, dedicating their single win in an uncontested war in an unwanted system as a mighty victory. They've attempted to send an ultimatum to the Paladins, but it managed to get lost in the post. Congratulations to the Hutton Truckers on gaining so many combat ranks in the last week and keeping the enemy at bay. Key systems of Sugrivik, Left 37, that's LFT 37, and Nabataean appear as safe as houses at the moment, though. They're absolutely sure that the EGU will be helping us rank ourselves silly, at least in martial terms. Yes, martial. Don't do what I did earlier and read that as marital, as that puts a whole different spin on things. Rumours are that the enemy is attempting to lose again in Sugrivik and Nabataean. We're not sure they've got the message yet, but are sure to be congratulating themselves silly whilst allied forces defend both those systems.
Professor Sums McKenzie of the Galactic and Universal Finance Federation, or GUF for short, has finally had some success in persuading the Pilots Federation that there was a gaping big hole in their financial model for the galaxy. To date, only imports of goods to a system provided any form of tangible benefit to an owning faction, giving them political credit when their actual credits were diminished as a result of trade. Factions throughout the galaxy were on the verge of bursting at the seams as inbound goods were the only method of trade that would benefit them politically, and stuffing their warehouses with goods was seen as a positive thing. Sums and the GUF pointed out that people buying things produced in system was a far more effective way of helping out your chosen faction, swelling their coffers and giving them plenty of money to spend on the important things, like holographic posters for the boulevard and the salary of the barman, as he wasn't able to make cash by trading in things and certainly isn't making any tips on his drink sales. Yes, now you can help Hutton by spending your cash. Pop to the Orbital and buy up all the mugs and gin. Or over to Epsilon Indy and strip the place of all the bourbon. It appears that any commodity that's in surplus, and therefore marked as in high supply, is fair game for any commander wanting to get involved in politics. Always fancied using your fleet carrier-sized wallet to make a change to the galaxy? Now you can. Just buy all the stuff. And support your chosen party now. Warehouse full of evacuation shelters? Bag a bargain and line the politicians' pockets. Upcoming election? Grab yourself a million tons of drain. Grain. Rare traders throughout the galaxy are looking forward to newfound clout as their rare goods actually benefit the producing station. Amelia Hawke of the Galnet Rares Digest is preparing a special leather-bound edition of her guidebook, Rares. I've written it all up so you don't have to celebrate.
For the last year, security forces throughout the galaxy have been trying just about any tactic to prevent inbound scavengers, pirates, and looters getting their hands on the contents of their cabinets and crates. Not content with zero-tolerance stop-and-search tactics and emergency broadcast beacons to call in tactical assault teams and improve defences, in recent months they've resorted to softer tactics. In order to prevent the theft of keys and identities, they've patched suit systems into health monitors, and any settlement personnel rendered unconscious are now automatically taking their ID systems offline, preventing the theft of any security keys from anything but a living, breathing, walking and talking member of the settlement staff. Scavengers were resorting to ninja pickpocketing and stealth skills in order to break into locked areas, which suited the settlement owners just fine. However, after an edict by the Pilots Federation that all commanders, dead, alive, sleeping, resting after a go with the energy overload device, should be identifiable, this situation has now been reversed. Playing possum just isn't cricket. This was after a number of situations where they had been unable to identify a number of sleeping Hutton truckers at various station bars and without working ID scans had to lock them up in the cells instead of returning them to their quarters. With cells in theory being reversed for those with notoriety, this had led to extreme prison overcrowding, which is bad, especially when there's fighting about who gets the top bunk.
After a spate of insurance claims over recent weeks related to "I tripped and accidentally cut my own arm off with an arc cutter," or "I fell off a building and landed on my arc cutter and that's how I got third degree burns to my backside," and
"it just went off in my face,"
a new safety cutoff has been added to the Maverick mounted mischief maker that prevents you having painful accidents whilst running with it. This is a reminder to all pilots, though: do not operate dangerous cutting machinery whilst A, under the influence of intoxicating substances, B, running away from the enemy, C, attempting to strap yourself into your pilot's seat. Also, arc cutters are not licensed for A, making toast, B, cutting your nails, C, art, or D, keeping yourself warm on cold planets.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. Thargus now only active in 8 systems, and we have completely cleared the Pleiades. Take a moment to pat yourselves on the back. Hope you just did it, because the moment's done. We still have 3 systems in the Coalsack to clear and 8 in the Witchhead Nebula. Our current priorities are Evangelus and Lembas in the Witchhead Nebula and Coalsack Sector VU-0B6-6. As always, use Thargoid.watch to keep up to date on the latest in system status and defensive priorities. Operation Ida is still working to supply Corrigan Terminal in Pleiades Sector HR-WD1-74, and we remain at 14 stations still under repair. If you have some open cargo space, this is a good cause, and you'll make some credits doing the work. We're nearly at the final push, truckers. Keep up the good work and keep Tharg on his back heels. Or whatever they have. Watch each other's backs out there. Keep your eyes on the signal sources. And always be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
Through the sorcery that is computer stuff, Commander Intarius Fusion, techno wizard of the Hutton Helper, has connectified a feed from the main panel display in the Hutton Master Control Situation Room here at the Orbital to the Hutton Helper. So if anyone sees a wire coming out of the back of Mop Cupboard 2, leave it alone. If you click on the second Hutton button in the Hutton Helper, yeah, the thing that looks like a pie, because we all know that you like pie, it will open up the tactical display on your very own terminal. Yes, you can all do it now. No need to wait. Yes, that's it. Yeah, further. click at the top of the INF for influence column, and it will sort the systems in order from basket case to overachiever, and even the other way around. Even more, click on system and it will tell you all sorts of stuff. Hang on, does this mean I'm going to be redundant? I need to call my shop steward. Last week's problem systems, Epsilon Eridani and Ross 671, have managed to drag themselves into the comfort zone that is the low 40s. So, thanks to the industrious truckers that made that happen. Arnold Star has resumed its rightful spot, propping up the bottom of the table on 33, and it's joined this week by LP245-10. In Barnard Star, a war has just ended and a civil war is tying up a quarter of the influence, and 10th Fleet are only 9 points behind Hutton, to which we should keep an eye open for an opportunity. Montgomery Python assures me that LP245-10's very convincing impersonation of a falling brick on a high-G planet is nothing to worry about and we should all just move along as there's nothing to see. In Wolf 562, we continue to make good progress in reeling in Wolf 562 Inc., who are the controlling faction in the system, the gap now being only 17 points. The observant amongst you will have seen that Hutton expanded into some dump earlier in the week. Which one is it this time? Oh, come on, I can't be expected to remember them all. It's like the names of people you meet on holiday. Oh, yes! LHS-6028, which is a contrail system and we just don't want to be there. The keener-eyed of the observant ones may also have noticed that despite being at war for most of the week, neither side have managed to score a point. If anyone would like to pop over there to score an own goal against Hutton and fight for Pethys Purple Fortune Corp, feel free, you have our blessing. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems League, we have only 4 systems above 60% and none above 70%. I've just pinched myself. Keep exercise and restraint over the other systems that get out of hand and please don't run missions and dump data into systems that are above 60%. And keep monitoring the usual channels for more expansion news. Priorities this week are if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Wolf 562 and Barnard Star. If you want to shoot something, you can join Operation Breastplate 3, 4, is it 6, and fight for the Paladins.
If there are any cries of, there's nothing to do, I'm bored, or I never see any other pilots doing this item, that whinger will get cast off to the naughty step on LHS 340 faster than you can say Alex Dunal is bad for pirates. What the community needs, the community provides, and this week we've heard from All the Clouds in the Sky, The Magellan Experience, New Year, New Discoveries 3308, Celebration of Early Astronomy 4, A Crate Carrier Survey of Etia Carina, Expedition Phoenix Frontier, more news on the imminent Bandit Racing League event, and an exciting 5 Euro Tour event that starts tomorrow. Links will of course be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Commander Diluvian's expedition, All the Clouds in the Sky, is having a little bit of a rest, but it's not all bad news, and he explains.
Expedition Day 136, and the crew is still on an extended vacation in the Sosong system. The plan to depart this past Tuesday failed. I cannot blame anybody else but myself, as life in the galaxy and outside of it got a little crazy lately. To the crew and or potential new commanders joining our expedition, please use this time wisely. We are not going to leave until next Tuesday, as I tend to set dates like this overlapping my online transmission dates. Build and engineer whatever you think you will need out in the black. We will be back soon enough to do all the necessary corrections, but as there is a delay, some could benefit from it. I did some research and checked the galaxy map at least, Looks like the best way to begin this part of the journey would be to start by visiting CD-26-1339 Robin's Egg Nebula. From there, we might move towards Eskimo, and then we would be almost at the Witch Head, the entry point to the big cluster of nebulae in the Orion Complex. A lot of places to visit and explore, and I can assure you, lots and lots of beautiful vistas. Stay tuned, Commanders.
The Magellan Experience is reaching a turning point, as Commander Richard Fluvenes M tells us. The expedition has arrived at Waypoint 12 and its initial namesake destination, Magellan Star. We gathered on a landable planet with carbon dioxide atmosphere and celebrated like Magellan on our arrival at the halfway point through our route. While we've been filling Codex Organics and POIs for either Lyrus or Tenebrae, the arrival of Magellan is but one fraction of our expedition, as we have a whole half to go. The next half will have us in the void, crossing the Arm Gap to Hawkins Gap, a relatively unexplored, extremely big area that has just been visited near ETA Carinae, the Project Destiny and the Guardian Ruins. More discoveries will come as we triumphantly complete the experience. For all commanders, thank you for joining the experience, and be prepared for the last half, which will be equally interesting as the first. New Year, New Discoveries 3308, which offers armchair explorers a fleet carrier equipped trip to the core and back, is still seeing people across the starting line. Commanders Arborich and Luna Sidara say they've been busy finding Earth legs, binaries and fancy stars, but not too busy to photograph yet another mass launch. We're expecting shenanigans next week though. Commander Kesica must have grown up reading 20th century literature, because it gave her a yearning to see for herself the stars and planets that the authors of those books could only speculate about. You could join her on her expedition and find out how close they were to the truth. Commander Kesica brings us up to date.
We're still en route to the Bubble Nebula, and we'll be passing by the Formidine Rift, a veritable wealth of lore related to the shadowy organization called the Club. This area includes an abandoned megaship called the Zurara, and four abandoned settlements within the Iafot sector. Those of you with EDSM may wish to stop by one of the latter, as you'll get a badge just for visiting.
Commander Kesica wants to say a special thank you for the images to Commanders No Spyro and Zandru. This video is from the second time slot of their Leg 2 launch party. CEA4's bi-weekly base camp events have two time slots to accommodate as many people's schedules as possible. Commander I Am Nickman, the captain of the fleet carrier FGS Glorious Walls, has an organiser of the expedition he's named A Crate Carrier Survey of ETA Carina, has been busy with his holocam and sends us this essay named What I Did on My Holidays.
Bound by Commander Pig Iron 42. This unidentified system was a great discovery made last evening. Pig Iron has particularly enjoyed the amount of content in Odyssey Exploration and Great Vistas. While exploring last night, he stumbled upon this large mountain and decided to visit to get a good view. The mountain is so high, one can clearly see the curvature of the planet. Fantasio found his first undiscovered ringed ammonia world. The rings were large and quite bright. Commander AIN-91 was the second commander, of three so far, to discover binary Earth-like worlds on our expedition in the Eta Carinae region. Explorers partaking in this expedition have found more oddities and rare finds than we've experienced in our last few expeditions, particularly that of ground-based views. I'll leave you this week with one last shot to ponder the darkness with. An extinct volcano, or perhaps dormant, discovered once again by Commander Pigiron 42, who has made a hobby of making landfalls on planets he flies by.
News now of an expedition that we've only just heard about, even though it actually departed on January the 8th. Never mind, it's never too late to catch up. Although the organiser is a hotbox pilot, all are welcome. The expedition description says, this expedition is planned to help map undiscovered systems and lead explorers up the Orion arm of the Milky Way, paying visits to notable sites on our way back, such as Sagittarius A and Colonia. There will be no fleet carriers used on this expedition. Commander Content has been in touch and wants to say this.
Expedition Phoenix Frontier was originally an expedition to take a different route to Colonia. However, exploring can get lonely, so I gathered up Commander Nadel and Commander Cohorn to help make an expedition to lead the way for other expeditions, a frontier of sorts. The expedition started January the 8th, where around 15 commanders set out from the Mammon system to map key destinations along the Orion Galactic Arm. Five of these destinations will be reserved for future expeditions. And while Phoenix Frontier is set to come to an end on March the 6th, that will not be the true end, as when a phoenix dies, it rises the next day. Future expeditions are already being organised to get more detailed searches around the five destinations scouted on the original expedition. This is only the start of what's to come.
With a reminder of the upcoming Bandit Racing League event, January 29th, here's Commander DB Exterminator to tell us about it.
Greetings, Commanders. There is still time to get registered for the Bandit Racing League's race on Saturday. Prizes are $50 million for the first runner to deliver their cargo and $50 million for the pirate with a large haul. To the pirate that manages to steal my cargo from me, $250 million. I'll be flying the Warhead again in this race, and prizes will be paid out from my fleet carrier, the War Daddy. Good luck and happy hunting, Commanders.
And lastly this week, something for those of you who are looking to get smashed this weekend. That is, if you want to be smashed into the surface of a planet. Commander Hunter and the 5 Euro tours from the New Pilots Initiative are departing tomorrow, Friday, with the fleet carrier Casino and Resort from Malay, and will set sail for KOI 1701, the infamous 45G planet for fun, shenanigans and rebuys. Next week, we expect to be adding coverage of the new adventure from Titan Contractors, so watch this space, if you see what I mean. As always, the ever-inventive and supportive community have continued with events which you've created and you've enjoyed. If you're thinking of setting one up, please email itookpart@huttonorbital.com to let us know about it.